Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Or even, you know, 100 years ago, you tell somebody that people have actually been in this thing called a spaceship, and they went all the way to the moon, and they landed on it, and they walked on it. What would they say? That's impossible. That's impossible for that to happen. No way, that's impossible. Some of the gadgets that we have, even 20 years ago, if you told somebody you'd be able to watch TV on your phone, they'd be like, what phone when I, you know, how am I going to, that's impossible. How would that happen? We're astonished by things that seem impossible. We're astonished when we see that. And so tonight I want to talk about God being the God of the impossible. Do you know that God's the God of the impossible? And he loves playing that role in who he is. And he loves it when his kids brag upon him as the God of the impossible. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 18. He said, what is impossible with men is possible with God. What's impossible with men is possible with God. The New Living Translation says this, what is impossible from a human perspective is possible with God. And I really like what the Living Bible says. God can do what men can't. I love that. God can do what men can't. God puts all others to shame in doing what he alone can do. He puts every person, everything to shame. God can do what men can't. And I like what Jeremiah the prophet prayed when he prayed to the Lord. He said, Sovereign Lord, you made the earth and the sky. By your great power and might, nothing is too difficult for you. So he can speak the universe into existence. Nothing is too difficult for God. Now tonight I want to just talk about the God of the impossible under two headings. And I'll give you the first fill-in right away. And it's impossible callings. God is the God of impossible callings. And later we're going to talk about that he's the God of impossible challenges. First, let's camp on him being the God of impossible callings. Look what Hebrews says. It says about faith, that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I would circle that word impossible there. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So everything we do is from a life of faith. Everything we do from the time we get up, breathing, living, eating, we are living by faith whether you realize it or not. And I had a pastor friend from Africa. He's from Kenya, and he is a missionary in Burundi. And he was eating in our Faith Bible Chapel Wednesday night dinner, I think it was last summer or the summer before, and we support him as a missionary. And he said, I said, what's the biggest difference between Christians in America and Christians in Africa from your perspective? And he said, we have to live by faith more than you do. And that's always stuck to me. You know, that it's the same Jesus, same God. He's still a sinner in need of grace the same way we are. But they wake up every day realizing that they're in need of God for every breath, every ounce of food, everything that they're going to have. Now, I want to switch this, though, from just thinking about it from that perspective to an impossible calling. Look what A.W. Tozer has to say. He says, God is looking for those through whom he can do the impossible. What a pity that we settle for only those things we can do ourselves. Wow. That quote, when I read that, rang my chimes. That I settle for things on a daily basis that I can do in my own strength and my own power, and I'm settling. That God wants to do things. Scripture says that God's eyes search to and fro the earth to find somebody whose heart is gaze is fixed upon him so that he can show himself strong to that person. So listen to this then. What is an impossible calling? I gave it a definition here. It's on your outline. An impossible calling is something that God calls you to do that will require faith and obedience. It will require faith and obedience in spite of circumstances and the opinions of others. You ever get, as pastors and preachers, the best messages we ever teach are the ones we're preaching to ourselves. And usually I'm doing that, but I'm really doing that tonight. I'm talking to myself as much as anything. That God is requiring of us something that's going to require faith and then action. That's what obedience is. It's action to your faith. We say we believe God. We say we take him at his word. Obedience is just the action that follows behind that. And it's a good word. And if you see some of these scriptures that I provided for you, I want you to kind of do some homework and go read about these impossible callings in scripture. Acts chapter 20 is when the apostle Paul, he had lived with the church at Ephesus where we get our book Ephesians from. And in Acts chapter 20, it's all about Paul is being called to leave them and to go to Jerusalem where they're tugging on Paul's coat and they're saying, please don't go. They've had prophetic words about Paul that if you go, you might suffer harm or you probably will suffer harm. And Paul's just torn going, I am compelled to go because I consider my life worthless if I only may finish the race. And that's to complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. And then in Genesis, the impossible calling of Abraham and Sarah, when God does the miracle that they're in their 90s, and God's promise of them having a baby together, the promised seed, thought of Nehemiah. I mean, we could go on. Noah, in spite of circumstances and in spite of the opinions of others, acted in faith and obedience. And so if it's impossible to without faith, it's impossible to please God. I was thinking about this. It's impossible to walk in faith and always please other people. If somehow in our hearts we don't get the fact that it's impossible to please God and please everybody else at the same time, we're going to find ourselves as just people pleasers. And we'll walk in the fear of man, and we won't step out into the kind of life walking on the water as Jesus is calling us to. And that's the kind of life he wants for you and for me and for all of us, to step out into these impossible callings. And don't get the mindset that somehow an impossible calling is just for the folks in the Old Testament, or it's just the folks in the Hebrews chapter 11, or somebody on the mission field. It's for you. It is for you. Somewhere in your life, God is asking you to take some responsive faith. That's what this is all about. An impossible calling from God is where we respond in faith and say, okay, God, I'll take you at your word. We respond to his call. And I'd ask you tonight to think about this right now. What is God asking you to do that was going to require faith? Because many of us settle for going through the motions. We settle through just doing the day in and out, checking the time clock, doing what we know to do. And we're faithful. We're faithful in that part of our life. But I believe this about every person in this room tonight. That God has put something in your heart at some point in your life. A dream, a calling, a vision. Something that in here you go, oh, man, I wish I could just have enough money to do that. Or I wish my life circumstances would line up just right and then I could. And you know what I'm talking about. If everything just lined up right. And you know what? The fact that you have that didn't come from you. You didn't make that up. God Almighty puts that seed in our hearts so that we'll act in faith. And that we'll experience him in a way that we never dreamed we could experience. So what is it that God's asking you tonight that is going to require faith? And the second part of this is this, it's a calling, this impossible calling is a calling that will require the power of God. And is something you could never do on your own or in your own strength. God challenged me recently and spoke very clear to me, when is the last time it took faith to do ministry? I've been a pastor here at Faith Bible Chapel for 15 years. This is the only church I've ever known. I've been here for 20 years now. And, you know, there's plenty of other areas in life that has required faith. But in the area of ministry, God has been challenging me, prompting me, that the life of faith is the best life. And to live by faith in what God's called us to do, an impossible call. You know, if it's God's power, then it's God's glory. If it's my power and my strength, then I get the glory. And you know what? That's not a very satisfying life. That's not the kind of life that God has actually called us to. He's called us that he could display his glory inside of us in such a way that people say, it had to be God. It had to be God inside of them. Your God must be real. Your God must be true. Your God must be the person that you really say he is. Look at Luke chapter 1. If you remember the story of Mary, when the angel of the Lord came to Mary to tell her that she, as a virgin, was going to get pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit and conceive the Messiah, conceive Jesus, she said, how could this be? I'm a virgin. How could this be? And the angel responds, and he says, for nothing is impossible with God. And then I love how she responded. She said, I'm the Lord's servant, and I'm willing to accept whatever he wants. May everything you have said come true. Be it unto me according to thy word, is what she said. Look at the Amplified Bible says about this. For with God, nothing, circle that, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall ever be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Then she said, let it be done to me according to what you have said. This is very interesting when you circled that word nothing. That's a very interesting word in the Greek. And you've probably heard the word that's behind this at some point in time. And it's probably best to take the word nothing and split it into two words, no thing. The real literal, you would say, no thing is impossible for God. And what that means, the thing, that word is actually the Greek word rhema. You've probably heard that word, the rhema word of God. There's two words in Greek for the word, for saying word, whether it be spoken word or the living word, the logos or the rhema of God. Now, the rhema, the thing, that's what's translated there, is the power that's inherent when God speaks something. The power behind it, when God spoke the universe into existence, bam, the power that's there when God speaks something to your heart. What have you heard God say to you? And when you hear God say something to you, don't discount that. We often think, oh, it was the pizza I ate, or I heard somebody else say that, or that couldn't be from God. I'm hearing things. How many have ever done that? I'm raising my hand. We've all done it. We're not sure we want to hear that word, or it's scary, or this is too big, God. That's when God's acting. I know he's talking. Because if it was some little, potato thing, easy thing, then again, you get the glory, and where's God in the picture? I want you to get this tonight. I'm trying to get it down inside of me deeper. I like what Pastor James Ryle said. He's the pastor that spoke at our men's conference last February and on a Sunday. He said, never underestimate the power of a personal word from God. And never hesitate to say yes to his plan for your life. That word that God has spoken to you, there are things that God spoke to me when I first became a Christian. And you might be thinking, does he speak to you audibly the way you're speaking to me? No. That would be great. God can do that when and ever he wants to. But it's always been that little voice inside your heart here that you just, it's an impression, it's something from God, it's a prompting from God, it's deep down in your heart, and it comes through other people as well. God has many ways that he can speak his word in and through the Holy Spirit into our lives. But there are things that he spoke to me years and years ago that are just now, I'm seeing them all of a sudden bear fruit that I thought I'd put on a shelf. And so be like Mary and say back to him, okay, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. If that's what you want, that's what I want. Let me shift gears here on your notes. God does not always initiate impossible callings. Sometimes they come by the choice of his followers. He doesn't always initiate an impossible calling. Sometimes his followers, so filled with faith, so filled with the word, so filled with hunger to see God's kingdom go forth, they initiate the impossible calling. It's real interesting. It is the kind of faith, the first kind of faith that I was just describing is a responsive faith. It's a responding to what God has said in faith and obedience. This is a proactive faith. This is a faith that says, you know what? God, we're moving forward. I trust you, and I trust who you are and what you've commanded me to do. A great visual of this is found in 1 Samuel 14, where you read the story about Jonathan. Jonathan was David's best friend, and they were out in an incredible battle, and Jonathan and his armor bearer were caught. There was cliffs everywhere around them, and they were caught in the middle of this battle. And if I just put one verse on there, but the context is they knew they were in big trouble. And they looked around, and the Philistines were coming after them. And Jonathan just gets this bold faith inside his heart, and he says to his young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. And it goes on to say that as they came up and climbed their way out of the cliff, the Philistines thought they were going to make mincemeat out of them, and Jonathan and his armor bearer took them down, over 20 men by themselves, two guys. So he had proactive faith. But what you got to catch from this is perhaps the Lord. Jonathan did not know that victory was going to be certain. Don't we want to know that victory is going to be certain before we're going to put our lives on the line? I do. Don't you want to know that your money's going to somehow multiply if you're going to invest it? Whatever it is, we want to know the risk, you know, in this whole deal and risk reward to the whole thing. God has promised us that if we'll risk, the reward will blow your mind. It's impossible to please God without faith, but you got to believe that he'll come, that when you come to him, that he exists and he rewards. Risk and reward. That's proactive faith. Again, Jonathan said, nothing, no thing can hinder the Lord from saving. Here's what I like about proactive faith. It understands this, that you don't need permission when you've been sent on a mission. We as Christians wait way too much to find out, and we act all holy, and we say, well, we'll pray about it. When I did youth ministry, we would take kids on mission trips throughout the world to go spread the gospel and love on people in other churches and other cultures. And I would say, hey, we're going on a mission trip. Come one, come all. And people would come to me and say, well, I need to pray about it. And I'd be like, pray about what? Pray that if you're going to pray, you're going to pray to see whether God wants you on this trip or not. You're going to pray to see if he wants you to spread the gospel. Okay, that's been declared. Whether he wants you to love people, serve people, grow in your faith. Do you need to pray whether God wants you to do these things or not? No, you might want to pray, why wouldn't he? And that's a whole other way to pray. But you don't have to pray when you've been commissioned to a mission. That's every Christian has been told what to do. We've been told to go. We've been told to be part of this. We've been told to act in faith. And that goes for me. That goes for all of us. Go until you get a no. We always want to hear the yes, and then we'll go. Sometimes you might not hear that. God likes the kind of faith that steps out and walks on the water. You got to at least take that step, and then he'll move you and direct you. But sometimes God, some of you are waiting for God to write it in the sky or to send you a message on your computer and wake up and have it be this lightning bolt experience. You don't need that. When you step out, he'll meet you. He never fails. He might not do it how you want it to be, and it might not be comfortable and easy, but he will meet you. People who have this kind of faith, they know that their call is to further the kingdom and his kingdom purpose. It's to love God and to love people. You don't need permission to love God and to love people. Do it and leave the results up to him. Here's a thought that hit me. Am I asking God to advance my cause, or am I advancing his? If you are advancing God's cause, then do it. Go. You've been commissioned. Keep going. Go further. Take more land and go keep rescuing people. Keep doing what God told you to do. I love the movie We Are Marshall. It's a true story about in the early 70s, Marshall University's football team was in a horrific plane crash. And everybody died, the coaches. It was a horrible, horrible thing. And the movie tells the story about what happened after the plane crash happened and how they resurrected this football program out of nothing. It was devastated at this point in time. And Matthew McConaughey plays the coach that takes over Marshall University's football program. And he's having to go petition the NCAA to let freshmen play for the first time their first year in college. They used to not be able to do that. Now they can go to the NFL right after that, but that's a whole other story. In this story, it's this president of the university is calling all these people, "Would you like to come coach? Would you like to come coach?" "No, no, no, no." And he's just crossing list after list after list of all these small schools. And then he gets a call from Matthew McConaughey's character, the coach. And he says, "I'd like to talk to you about doing this." And when he goes and meets with Matthew McConaughey, he says, "Why in the world would you want this job?" And Matthew McConaughey says, "Well," he said, "when I read what happened, and I read about all those young men and all those people dying and what happened to that university, I know what I would want somebody to do for me if I was in that university. I felt it was the right thing to do." That's proactive faith. That's a great depiction of what God is asking us. Go find somebody that's hurting and meet needs. Go love on them. You know what the cure for a restless heart is? So many of you in this room have restless heart syndrome. And it's like, go serve somebody. Go step out in faith and do something that God's called you to do. And that restlessness, that's the only thing that's going to cure that restlessness that's in your heart. All right, I want to shift gears now off the callings to impossible challenges. Impossible challenges. God's the God of the impossible. He's the God of the impossible. James says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Circle the word trials and circle the word testing. Very key words here. Untested faith is unreliable faith. Untested faith is unreliable. When our faith has not been tested, we don't really know what it's made of. But when people go through the difficulties of life, the pain of life, the strains of life, you realize what your hope is really in. You realize who your hope is really in when you go through these difficulties. Now, faith makes things possible. It doesn't make things easy. I stole that today off a plaque in our house. I've probably walked by it 1,000 times, and it all of a sudden, hey, that goes in the message. Faith makes things possible, not easy. Now, this impossible challenge is a trial or a test that will require endurance, hope, and surrender. When you go through an impossible challenge, it is a trial or a test that will require endurance, hope, and surrender. There's some scriptures there that one is Joseph. When Joseph was suffering, you know, in Egypt and had been taken captive, brothers sold him in slavery, all of that, at the end he said, "You meant this for evil, but God meant it for good." He went through a trial and a test. Matthew 9:20 is about the woman with the issue of blood that had suffered for years. And then Mark 9 is about a man who had a possessed son and had watched him suffer and what Jesus did in the middle of his life. But here's something very important. Don't confuse temptation with tests and trials. I hear people say that, and it's not a proper way of understanding these words, and it'll be very helpful if you actually understand the difference. A temptation is given to you by the devil, by this world, and it's meant for your destruction. It's meant to destroy you and your faith. That's what temptation does. Tests and trials are meant to deepen your faith. One is meant to destroy you. One is meant to deepen you and for your roots to go deeper. You know, you've seen that we're going into fall and about to go into winter and rake all the leaves and do everything that we do in the wintertime, which I hate, but it's going to snow. Don't like that either. But you know what's going to happen to the trees? In the winter, when they don't have any leaves and they look barren and it's cold outside and it's snowy, their roots are going deeper and deeper to find moisture and warmth, deeper and deeper and deeper because of the elements that are happening out on the surface. That's what's happening to your faith when you're challenged with a test or a trial. If you do things God's way, go deeper and deeper and deeper so that you won't blow over in the wind. You won't blow over when the challenges of life come. You'll be strengthened so that you can turn around and strengthen your brothers and sisters as well, and be a trophy of God's grace. The stumbling block of suffering causes so many people to stumble in their faith or to not come to faith in Christ. But if there's meaning in life, which we all know there is, then there's meaning in suffering. And sometimes we get this bad teaching from TV preachers and other people sometimes that try to do away with suffering, and they try to make heaven be here on earth perfectly. This isn't heaven. Heaven is heaven because there is no pain, sorrow, or suffering. That's not to say that God doesn't interrupt the corruption of this world and do miracles and work in our lives. He does it to bring himself glory all the time. But we can get kind of off target there and not understand that heaven is heaven for a reason, and we're not there yet. And so when we suffer, we ask questions and we wonder, does God really love me? Do I have enough faith? Did I not believe hard enough? Did I not pray hard enough? It breaks my heart when I see that in people's lives. And sometimes people say, why am I suffering? And sometimes I have to say, I don't know. I don't have all the answers. I wish I did, but I can be with you and pray with you and cry with you and hope with you in God. Sometimes we get so internally focused, we get our eyes off of God and on ourselves too much. But you know, when a non-believer suffers, when a non-believer goes through suffering, I think this: God is screaming something to them in their suffering. He's screaming that this world is broken and this world has gone very wrong and it's full of sin and it's headed in the wrong direction. And he's screaming to them to turn to him, to turn to the only God that can give them real hope. Every time I hear an ambulance, I begin to pray for whoever is in that ambulance and the family that surrounds that ambulance, so that in that moment, it would be a mirror for them to look to God and to say, you know what, life is broken. This place is not heaven. This isn't our home. We're passing through. and that they would get that and look to the Savior to be the answer, to be their hope, to look to eternal life for them. But believers as well, when we go through impossible challenges and suffering, here's what you need to know. It's a signpost that we're not there yet. You know, I had to drive all the way up to Platte Canyon yesterday. Man, that seemed like forever. I went past Idrahaji, and I used to think that was far away. I had to go past that. I thought, is this place ever going to get here? And they show mile markers, and they would say, you know, Bailey, another 25 miles. Are you kidding me? Another 25 miles. Am I ever going to get there? And then this just hit me. We do that every time we suffer. Are we there yet? Lord, is this, hello, how much do we have to go through? Are we there yet? And he said, another 25 miles. Another 50, some of us, another 100 miles. Some of us are closer than others. But we don't know how close we really are, but we're not there yet. And we need to remember that every time you even get a little sniffle, a little cold. It's a reminder, no sniffling in heaven. There's no sorrow or crying or colds or sicknesses or disease. Common challenges to these common impossible challenges are this. Uncooperative people. How many have ever known someone like that? They better not be sitting next to you if you raise your hand. Unexplainable circumstances and unbearable pain. Uncooperative people, unexplainable circumstances, and unbearable pain. And I wonder tonight, what you're going through that seems like an impossible challenge. You got a husband or a wife who's uncooperative, difficult in that, man, that's an impossible challenge. You got unexplainable circumstances, your finances are turned into a disaster, and you're like, what in the world? Unbearable pain physically or emotionally? What are you going through that seems like an impossible challenge? Before you move too quick, I want to emphasize something on this point here. The first chapter of James, where I started on this, verse 12 says, blessed are those who persevere under trial, because when they've stood the test, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And this is what Peter says in 1 Peter 5:10. It's not on your notes. But it says, and the God of all grace, listen to this, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself personally restore you and make you strong, steadfast, firm in him. God personally will restore you. When you go through an impossible challenge or suffering, he himself will personally restore you. To the level that you and I want God to use us is to the level you will probably go through pain. Because when you've gone through unbearable pain and unexplainable circumstances and uncooperative people, you're pliable now. And you've been taught that God is all you really need. You've been taught that your hope is really in God. You've been taught that your hope is in him and not in your circumstances. When that happens, God uses you to touch other people's lives in a way that you never dreamed you could. So I'm not asking you to pray for pain. I'm not asking you to pray for difficulty or anything like that. It's coming anyway. It's not a shock to anybody, I don't think. It's coming anyway, because we're not there yet. We're not there. We're passing through, and that's part of this life. So how? I'm going to conclude with this. How do we do this? And I have one simple thought, three simple words, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit makes us born again. When we get regenerated by the Holy Spirit, he opens our spiritual eyes. We see our need in Jesus. We put our faith in Jesus. And he comes to take up residence on the inside of us, to live through us, and to bear fruit, and to walk out the life that he has for us to walk in the Spirit. We need to be Spirit-filled continually. Not what happened last week or 6 months ago or at camp in the sixth grade. We need to be refilled with the Spirit every day. And that's letting him have complete control. The Holy Spirit came to give us joy, to comfort us, and to give us the power to live life that he wants us to live, and to be Spirit-led. I was meditating on this, to be Spirit-led. In that same chapter in Romans 8, verse 14, talks about us being the children of God. We're led by the Spirit. It talks about the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. I mean, you should think about that. And I'll ask you an honest question. And those of you that amen, don't say anything. The rest of you that didn't say anything. Do you believe that the Spirit of God resurrected Jesus from the dead? Okay, if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, a dead man became alive and lives forever, what can the God of the impossible do for you in your calling or in the challenge that you're going through? It's there. And sometimes we believe that's for everybody else. That's for you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me, and he lives in you. And he's leading and guiding our lives.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.